If you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, we're winding down the book of Matthew, getting closer and closer to moving on to something else. We're going to begin in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 28. It says, "And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren, that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Okay, we've covered the first four verses of this text. The last time we were together, the keepers that are spoken of there in verse 4 are simply the guards that had been hired by the chief priests and the elders. If you'll remember, they were concerned that that the disciples would, because Jesus said he'd rise again on the third day, they were concerned that the disciples would send somebody to steal the body and then claim that he had risen again. And so they're trying to prohibit that, and so they hired guards to watch over the tomb at least through those first 3 days. Of course, now Jesus has actually risen from the grave, and the angel of the Lord's descended, as this text said, and he has made his presence known, and he's now sitting upon the stone that he rolled away. And the guards, seeing him, are overwhelmed. It says that that for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And so that became as dead men likely means that they just passed out. They were overwhelmed and probably just fell unconscious to the ground. Verse 5 tells us, And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Now, the women are getting a whole different deal from the angel of the Lord. The guards were overwhelmed and fell unconscious to the ground, and the women, with a whole different story, far from letting them become overwhelmed with fear, the angel of the Lord comforted them with the words, Fear not. He kept them calm. Now, if you will remember, these two ladies had returned that morning they were coming with aloes and spices and ointments and this sort of thing. Their full intention was to come and take the body of Jesus and further prepare it for burial. We've talked about that. It was a custom of the Jews not to embalm. They did not. This was not an embalming process. It was just the act of wrapping it in linen and coating that with various spices and aloes and ointments that would preserve the body for a very limited amount of time, and more than anything, cover the smell and the decomposition and things that would be taking place there. So that's what their intent was. They were going to come and finish that up, but it comes to they come to find out that there's not going to be any ointments needed, because the angel makes it very clear that Jesus has risen. Verse 6 says, he says plainly, He is not here, for He is risen. And he said, Come and see the place where the Lord lay. So not only does he tell them about the resurrection, but he adds this little reminder in verse 6 there. It says, He is risen as he said. So he reminds them that, hey, he told you guys about this. And it gives a little reminder there. And the women listened. They had listened, like all the rest of the disciples. They had listened to the words of Jesus time and time again. At least three times we know of that he spoke of his death and his resurrection. And they heard that. They probably, if they had believed that, they probably perhaps wouldn't even have returned this Sunday morning as they're doing. There would be no need to because there'd be no body there unless they were just coming to confirm his absence. But instead, they had not anticipated his body being gone at all. They anticipated it being there. And their concern, as one of our other texts tells us, their concern was, hey, who's going to roll the stone away? They're thinking they're going to have to go in there and anoint this body, and not at all thinking that he is risen. But now they know, because the angel has made his declaration. He said he is risen as he has said. And according to Luke's account, it says they remembered his words. In other words, when he said that, it kind of hit them. Oh, yeah, he did say he was going to rise again. And then the angel adds just a little more a reassurance to them. In verse 6, he says, hey, come see where he lay. In other words, come in here, check it out, see for yourself. And the scripture doesn't tell what the women saw or what they didn't see when they got in there, but it's pretty safe to follow the account of when John's account tells us that just here in a little while, Peter and John both would run when they got news of the resurrection. They would run to the sepulcher, and they too would go in. And it explains a little more detail of what they see when they go in there. And it says in John 20 and verse 5 that they saw the linen clothes lying there. In other words, those clothes that Jesus, that cloth that Jesus had been wrapped in, was now just lying there where Jesus had laid. Now keep in mind, Joseph and Nicodemus are the ones that prepared the body. So they're the ones that had wrapped him in this linen, and they had began the preparation. They had already done what these ladies were going to come and contribute to. And they had, after they had got the body prepared, they had laid it down in the grave or in the tomb. And Jesus is not... He's not bound by natural laws. So when he rose again, there was no reason for him to unwrap himself. You remember when Lazarus came from the grave and come walking out, and he was still wrapped up kind of like a mummy, and Jesus says, unloose him. In other words, you'll have to unwrap him. You'll have to take those garments off. That wasn't necessary with Jesus. He didn't have to unwrap himself any more than he had to roll the stone away to exit the tomb. He is supernatural. His supernatural risen body was not bound by the laws of nature. And so he just passed through those linens where they lay. And so they just laid right there where he had been laid. And then obviously we know that he passed through the stone of the tomb. He didn't have to roll the stone away. It wasn't necessary. That came afterwards. The angel did that. And the only reason he did that was just so they could see that Jesus was no longer there. And so in verse 7, he continues, the angel, and says, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. So these ladies not only have been given the privilege of being the first to discover that Jesus was alive, that's a big deal, but they're also allowed to be the bearers of that news to the rest of the disciples. In other words, they're going to they're going to get to be the first ones to go in there and say, hey guys, you're not going to believe this. He is alive. And if you'll remember, the other disciples are kind of still laying low, especially the 11. They're still laying low in Jerusalem. They're still somewhat fearful of what might be done to them by the religious authorities. They're not sure. They just crucified Jesus. Those guys had fled, and they're just still laying low. And it seems that these women here, these two women, are being rewarded for their faithfulness. They were at the cross. We know that. We already studied that. During the crucifixion, they never left. They were right there. Then after Jesus took his last breath, they still didn't go home. They stuck around until the point that Joseph of Arimathea came and took the body. He was given permission by Pilate to take the body. He took it down from the cross, and then he worked his way towards the tomb, the sepulcher, which he was donating, if you will, for Jesus to be buried in. And all this time, these two ladies didn't leave. If you'll remember, they followed him, Joseph, to the tomb, and then Nicodemus shows up, and he's helping out, and they're observing all of this. There's record that these two ladies were there. And then, finally, when they lay him in the tomb, and they see that that's done, they finally go home. But only then are they there just for the Sabbath. And first thing Sunday morning, up early, right at the crack of dawn, the scripture tells us that, it was just beginning to dawn. And they're here again, prepared to further anoint his body. And in other words, these ladies love Jesus. They loved him so much, they expressed it in every way they could. And now that is resulting in a considerable privilege. They get to be the first at the tomb to see that he's risen, and they get to go tell all the others about it. And that's quite a privilege. It's really analogous of the fact that the closer a believer stays to the Lord, the greater things he or she's going to experience. You know, they just couldn't get away. They couldn't make themselves leave. They loved the Lord so much. And you know, when we distance ourselves from him by not being in the house of God, or not being in the Word of God, not being in prayer to the Lord, not being in service to him, then we're going to probably miss out on great things too. It's when you and I stay very close. That wasn't the case with these ladies. They stayed as close as they could, and they're right there. And now they're going to get their marching orders from the angel to go tell the disciples. And then he also adds a little promise to that, a little promise of further reward. He says, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. I have told you." So there again, he's telling them, and you're going to get to see him pretty quick. You're about to get to see him. And then verse 8, "And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word." Once again, in obedience, they leave the tomb. They're doing what they're told, and off they are to pass on the good news to the others. And then things just keep getting gooder and gooder for them, because now they're going to get met by Jesus, because they're doing everything they're supposed to do. They've been closely faithful, everything, following him as close as possible, even in his death, following his body to the grave, after he's laid beyond the tomb, they're first right back there Sunday morning, ready to continue to honor him with those spices and ointment. They're doing everything, and now it gets even better, because it says in verse 9, "As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by his feet and worshiped him." So now, if there were any doubt at all, it's been erased, because he's right there in front of them. With certainty, they know that he is alive and that he is no longer dead and in that tomb. And he's right in front of them. And not only that, but they can lay hold of him, and they do. They lay hold of his feet and worship. It's a wonderful thing that they literally have a hold of the feet of the resurrected Lord. Can you imagine? The empty tomb was one thing, and the angel's announcement, that's another thing. But now Jesus is right there in their arms, alive and well. Verse 10 says, "And then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall they see me." He tells them one more time. He says, "There's even more to come. You go tell the disciples, and I'm going to be seeing all of you. There's more appearances that lie ahead." And so with that, that last 10th verse, Matthew, the writer, leaves off of his telling of the resurrection day events. We've spent a lot of time on all of these events. And think about it, Matthew has told all of this very matter-of-factly. I mean, there's no arm-twisting, no effort to try to convince and say, no, really, he's alive. Nothing like that. He just lays out the evidence, and that's the way the Word of God does. God's not going to try to do things to convince you and I to believe Him. He presents the Word of God, and it's up to us by faith to accept it. And that's the way Matthew wrote the book. Here he just laid out the facts. A historian by the name of Thomas Arnold wrote these words. He's also a professor at Oxford, for whatever that's worth, okay? He says, I know of no one fact in the history of mankind which is proved by better and fuller evidence of every sort to the understanding of a fair inquirer than the great sign which God hath given us that Christ Jesus has risen again from the dead. And I tell you, the facts are there. The facts are established. He's risen again. And with those truths, there are so many other truths that are confirmed. The truth, the fact that the Word of God is true, is confirmed. Because he had the resurrection, he said it was going to happen, it happened. We can know that Jesus is the Son of God. It's confirmed. We can know that He can save us. That's been confirmed. We can know that His life, that there is life, rather, beyond the grave. We can know that we're going to one day be risen again because He's risen again. All of these things are just the fact that He overcame. He didn't cheat death. He overcame death and overcame the grave. Tells us that all of the things that we have been told in the Scripture are true, and we can bank on it. So I appreciate you guys very much. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to move on to verse 11, and we're going to see how the Pharisees and the religious group, they get alarmed now because the body's gone, and they're going to try to pay off the guards and give them a little hush money. And we'll talk about that next time we're together. So let's go ahead and stand. Appreciate you guys being here. We'll look forward to seeing you here on Sunday. And pray for those that have been mentioned. Pray for Miss Ophelia. And, of course, continue to pray for Martha as well. So, all right, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And Ike, will you lead us, please?